Thank you. You may be seated. Sometimes I wish that you could see what I see. Sometimes I'm glad you can't. How many of you remember the singing missionary? Did you ever meet him? McDonald. What was his first name? John McDonald. Held his hands like this. Well, I could have sworn I looked through that window and saw Mr. Bean and John McDonald singing from our from our sound room. But I think it's Noah and Philip. I'm not sure if they did it on purpose or not. But if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, please. It's just torture standing here some days. I entitled the message tonight, The Laziness Test. Let me ask you, how many of you are lazy? Well, lazy, I'm not about to tell you lazy is okay, but spiritual laziness sometimes gets us in trouble, and the problem with it is we arrive there and we don't realize how we got there until it's too late. Let's just pray together before we look at the word tonight. Father, I thank you again for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your watch care over us. Again, Lord, I thank you for this group that's gathered tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you help us to purpose in our hearts to live for you. Lord God, that we would recognize the importance of being faithful servants. And Father, even tonight as we think on these things, that you would give us a zeal not only to witness, Lord, but to encourage other believers to come alongside and help us in this battle against the wicked one for souls of men. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if I were to count 7 or 8 study Bibles anyway, and what happens every once in a while, maybe it's laziness, or maybe it's just because I know that certain portion of Scripture, when I studied deeply, I did in a certain Bible, so I would know that I have notes written there, so I will pick that Bible up. And I just happened to pick this Salem Kurban up the other day, and I was reading through and reading some of the commentary, and I started to ask myself why, the usual thing, that's those of you who know me, I guess I'm inquisitive. When something happens, if it happens to me, if it happens to you, if it happens in the church, one of the things that brought me to the place where I became a student of the Bible was just wondering how come it's like this. And I started to read, and we're going to look at the Laodicean in church in a few minutes. And I thought to myself, how come, and I believe tonight, that the church in Laodicea once was a good functioning, as it ought to have been, church. And how did it get to the point where the church was ridiculed? And when you take a look at verses 20 and 21, for example, you will find that Christ was on the outside. They were lukewarm, and it was an apostate church. A number of people who would have been involved in Laodicea weren't even really believers. How did a good, functioning, strong, Bible-believing church get to that point? They didn't do it on purpose. I thought it's just interesting how we are, what our nature is, how we function. And if we want to get a good look, we can start to follow the children of Israel, or you can go back in Scripture and look through the ages how it was with men. Abraham and his family. You can look at the patriarchs. You can look at Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they got in the wilderness, the captivities, and so on. And we will discover that we have a rebellious nature, all of us. Sometimes we nurture it ourselves to make it worse. Sometimes we don't realize or recognize. Sometimes things happen, and I believe that there's so much sin around us, and we have such a cunning enemy that we don't always sin on purpose. We sin by accident. Don't even realize we're sinning, and we slip into these things. I was thinking the other day, and I was thankful for this, because I don't know how long it's been now, 4 years, I think, I had a heart attack. And I'll never forget this, because the doctor told me that I couldn't preach for at least a month. And to walk, it was 11 minutes a day, three times a day, 11 minutes. And I thought to myself, you're kidding, 11 minutes. I'm going to take my watch? Yes. Okay. So that was fine. A couple of days I walked 11 minutes. And there was something wrong with my car. I can't even remember what. And I waded through the snow out to my baby barn, and I have a 3-ton floor jack, weighs about 100 pounds. Put it on my shoulder, walked out, jacked the car up, and I was whistling away there thinking. And I thought, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I forgot I was sick. It was a nice day, so that was fine. And I was doing my little 11-minute thing, and then I thought this would be more fun if I put on my snowshoes. So I put on my snowshoes, and I was walking down there behind the house in the snowshoes. I went 2 or 3 days, 11 minutes at a time. And I got really far, almost to the Coverdale Road, I think. And I looked at my watch, and I'd been gone already 40 minutes. And I came back and so on, and the next time I talked to the doctor, I said, listen, I can walk 11 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Three times a day. What about on snowshoes? Oh, you can't walk on snowshoes. I said, well, and I told him what happened. He said, did it hurt? Well, my legs were a little tired the first day, because I hadn't been on snowshoes for a while. He says, well, if it didn't give you any pain in your chest, go ahead. So I started walking all I wanted. Then I said, listen, it's okay, if I can walk, I can talk, right? Mm-hmm. I said, well, how long can I talk? What do you mean? I said, well, can I talk 30 minutes? Yeah, now, if I were walking around, can I stand up and talk? Well, what difference? I said, okay, then I can preach. And then he went on to tell me, and this is the part I like, long as you're not intense. Told him I'm not an intense person, and whatever you do, no stress. And I'm thankful for that, because I haven't been aroused to being intense in 4 years or whatever, and I haven't had any stress for it. But the point that I'm trying to make about sin, about sin and laziness, and some of the things that we get into, is we just slip into them by mistake. We aren't paying attention strictly enough to what we're doing, perhaps. And when I looked at the church at Laodicea, when I look at churches, the church in general, our own church, ourselves, myself, and some of the problems and difficulties that come our way, that we cause, we slip into these things. And my mind went, and I wanted to look tonight before we turn to this passage here in Revelation chapter 3 and look at it. Daniel, and I've used this verse so many times because I've thought about it so much. You need to memorize Daniel chapter 1, verse 8a. It is just this. The children of Israel had been led into Babylonian captivity. Daniel was there, and he was offered something, a portion of the king's meat. And it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. What was the key to Daniel's success? He purposed in his heart. And if we would somehow just purpose in our hearts that we're going to follow the Lord and we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do and so on, I think things would go better for us. I think we wouldn't be so apt to slip into lethargy or apathy or laziness, whatever. That's just what we're like. And I got thinking, you know, there's so many people who could look at me and say, I was once successful as a believer, if you want to use that word. Attended the services. I witnessed to people. I was involved in the programs. I was doing everything that I could to help win folks for Christ. And a little bit at a time, somehow, other things became more important. And it's kind of interesting, when as a pastor, I have to look at a group like this and suggest to you to invite people from this church back to this church on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. I could ask you, where are they, but how would you know? You're probably wondering the same thing. And I was thinking in my mind of individuals who have said to me in the past that, oh, to be a deacon or to be a Sunday school teacher or if you have, if you're going to be a trustee, you have to come to prayer meeting. The people who have said that to me, don't come to prayer meeting. Why? What happened? Like, what happens? Did you change your views? Or did somehow something in the world or something somewhere else just become more important and you didn't realize what happened? It says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot." How can you be not cold and not be hot? It's like, I don't care. I'm going to do this much only. I'm not going to do more. This is enough. And I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting how we are. It isn't only with church, it's with other projects as well. And some of you could say amen to this. You will start something. You'll have a goal. You'll work hard to reach the goal. Once you accomplish the goal, we our interest goes someplace else, and then the goal doesn't keep going. It fades away because we have to keep working to keep it going. You know, the Christian life is a work of service and work. We have to purpose in our heart, and we have to keep working and keep working and keep working. And it's something that we have to do on purpose. We really are a purpose-driven church. All of us. And when you stop and think about it, I got looking at this. It says that you're not cold and you're not hot. And it's like God couldn't blame them in a sense for anything. You couldn't blame them for being too cold because they weren't cold and they weren't hot. They were just there. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." We can have all the things. We can have every program, every book, every whatever you want to look at, and we worked hard to get this, but now we're going to just let it go. There's something wrong with this picture. It says here in verse 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and," what does it say? "Repent." Then it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And I was reading the other day a little article that someone had written, and someone had painted a picture of this scene. And it had Jesus standing on the outside, and there was a picture of a guy there, and there was a door on his heart. But there was no knob or no handle on the door. And the fellow said, "Well, this shouldn't there be a handle on the door?" And he said, "Well, no, there's not a mistake in the picture. The handle's on the inside." And it's interesting that when you look at this, how the conversation went on and the letter, so to speak, was written to the Laodicean church, provision was made for repentance. Provision was made for a turnaround and so on. And I got thinking about this and I thought, you know, as I started to examine myself and I started to examine this church, I concluded that one of the problems that we have, I don't mean to be nasty, is we become spiritually lazy. That's what happens. If I were to talk to a lot of people, it wouldn't be a matter of I'm against this or I'm against that. I'm not involved because I'm busy. I have other things to do. I'm tired. I'm involved in whatever it might be. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord's work ought to be of utmost importance to the Lord's people. I wrote down four things here, I guess. Number one, I just wrote, how come people, did you ever wonder this? Why is our morning service bigger than the evening service? Did you ever think of that? I actually like the evening service better. And I'm not saying that the people that come to our morning service and don't come in the evening are horrible, wicked sinners. But did you ever wonder how come they don't come? I've invited them, different ones of them, from time to time, and so on. It's just because maybe they don't realize or they don't understand that to gather together as believers, it's encouraging to one another. I had mentioned that to some folks here some time ago, and every once in a while when you do that, you'll see for a short time at least, there will be a few others will show up. How come people stay home from prayer meeting? What would make a person, and what I don't understand, is that which would be taught here in Sunday school and what would be taught in church wouldn't be anything that would make someone think that it was wonderful and fine not to come to church. And it dawned on me just the other day, in terms of evangelism and the whole thing, we have come to the place in the church today where we're like Laodicea to the extent that we have to start an outreach to our own church. We have some program to rebuild our own church. That tells me that something's wrong. How about this? Something as simple, I jotted this down, as attendance. The problem with it is it sends a signal. You have a home, you have a family, we have people drive back and forth past here day in and day out. And when somebody is contemplating coming to this church and they drive by on a Sunday evening and there's no one here, the signal is this: must not be worth coming to, or somebody would be here. What about this idea of laziness? Had you ever thought about the fact that you might be lazy, or I might be lazy? I get really lazy sometimes. Did you ever just have a day that you didn't feel like doing anything? Even the things that you're supposed to be doing? I have these things that, you know, that I have to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not going to do it because, and we can come up with different excuses. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Here in Proverbs chapter 6, we'll begin to read in verse 1, I guess. It says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." Then it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her way, and be wise." You know, did you ever watch ants? They're real workers, those little guys. I can remember seeing ants before trying to carry huge pieces of different things, actually. And did you ever notice sometimes they'll even help each other? There'll be a big piece of something, and two or three ants will have a hold of thing, and they're working there together, and they're working hard. And they've got it right. It's the female ants that do the work. Verse 7, it says, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler," they don't have a slave master out there telling them what to do. Instinct and necessity tells them what to do. If I don't do this, they already know that if they don't do it, there's a consequence to be paid. Then it says, "Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And a little note that I wrote on the side of my Bible that someone had mentioned that a wonderful new scientific discovery that within recent years they've discovered that it's the female ants that do the work. But isn't that wonderful? Because way back more than 2,000 years ago when this was written, God knew that. It isn't something new. "How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep?" Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." And it talks about the idea here that if you're lazy, not good. I have a little note here in my Salem Kerbin Bible, and I wanted to share this tonight because this, when I read this, it dawned on me, this is a test that we can do. I can look at this, and this will tell me whether or not I'm lazy. It says here, young people must learn to be self-starters in the day of modern conveniences. It is easy to be lazy. Now, you have to keep in mind that this Bible was published in 1973. Parents make the mistake of giving their children too many material things. Quite often, the students have cars that are better than their teachers. And it says, a lazy person has a love of ease. Do you have a love of ease? I want to do it the easy way. If there's a shortcut, I want to take the shortcut. If there's something or someone who can do this for me, I'd like them to do it. Is that what we're like? Just me? Nobody else is like that? Sometimes you look around and think, if I don't do this, will it get done? Sure, by and by someone else will do it, so why should I do it? Desiring a little more sleep, and he has written down here Proverbs 6, 9 and 10, Proverbs 26, 14. So a lazy person is someone who has a love of ease. Number two, he says a lazy person is someone who has a loss of energy. Do you know that laziness, if I'm lazy, it makes me more lazy? And the lazier I am, the lazier I get, the less I do, the less I want to do. And we can get to become very lazy. So love of ease, loss of energy. It says here some are so lazy they won't even feed themselves properly. And that would be Proverbs 19, 24, 26, 15. And then it says, he says that a lazy person has a lack of enterprise. He refuses to work. So when you stop and take a look at your life and how you are and where you are, and I've thought about this a number of times in relation to church and different things, what really has happened in other churches, what can happen here, and to some degree is happening here, it isn't a matter of somebody deliberately saying that I don't want to do this or I'm not going to go. After a while, it's just, why would I do this if I can sit home and do nothing? I'm not sinning. How about this? Do you believe that by not doing something, I can sin? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Sins of omission. And for some reason we seem to forget the fact that those things that ought to be done, if we don't do them and we know they ought to be done, then we're sinning. So the idea is just this, that sometimes a person can get to the place that they have love of ease, brings us to a loss of energy, which brings us to a lack of enterprise. And then we'll sit back and we'll look around and wonder, how in the world did this happen? How did I get to this place? How did we get to this place? And I think one of the things that we need to start teaching and start to look at and think about as believers is just this. You know, we're to work out our salvation. And part of the idea of working out our salvation is doing the Lord's work because we are saved. Faith without works is dead, James said. And by their works, or by their fruit, we shall know them. So as a believer, the idea that our purpose is to work out the Lord's salvation here on earth and to do the best we can with what we have and where we are to reach people for Christ, and also to maintain His church, and also to maintain myself as a son of God. So I thought tonight, as we looked into God's Word, first of all, just that we need a purpose in our heart. Because in the natural, most of us aren't going to do anything unless we have a purpose. Oh, we have to determine what is our purpose. What is it that the Lord wants us to do? As we look at our little church, I believe that there's revival and great things ahead for us. But we have to have a recognition and a realization. But I think it's time for all of us to go and be busy about the Lord's business. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes that we've had. And Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, dear Lord, that the sin of laziness wouldn't creep into our hearts and into our lives. And Lord, hurt us as individuals, as families, and dear God, as a local church. I pray, Father, that as we examine ourselves and look at our own lives, that we would see those areas and those things that we could do better. Lord, that we would have the grace to recognize and to repent. I ask, Lord, tonight, too, as we break bread together, that you would speak to us, you'd encourage us, and we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what we have in Christ's name. Amen.